Hello, my name is Kayla Bozzi, a three-sport athlete at Swan Valley High School in Saginaw, Michigan. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up this past basketball season as we started by doing the 21-day challenge, and it really helped our team chemistry immensely. Lead 'Em Up has really taught me and my teammates that the little things on a team create the big things, and I believe our team was successful this past season because of the leadership and chemistry that was built through the season thanks to Lead 'Em Up.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. I'm excited for today's topic because it's one that I've experienced firsthand. I've had many conversations with coaches about this exact topic, and I believe that addressing it in the manner that I believe Kyle and I will be talking about, it may change your perspective slightly. It certainly has changed mine. And Kyle Almendorf, our Southeast Regional Coach, with Lead 'Em Up, joining me for this conversation. But it's titled, You Don't Own the Rights to Your Player. You don't own the rights to your player. And I feel oftentimes coaches, they believe they do. They believe they've earned over the years of pouring into their player that they own the rights to them, that that player is obligated to continue with them, to continue in their program, to kind of do just whatever you need them to do, and that, you know, you've earned that right. And I know some coaches, they may struggle with this topic a little bit, but I have seen time and time again where players will leave a program, they will transfer from a program, not just collegiately, but high school as well. It's really happening at all levels now. They will leave after a couple of years within your program. During those couple of years, the coach has poured into them, has served them, have lifted them up and done all the appropriate things. And that player moves on to another program. And it gets messy. It gets really, really messy. And I'll speak from the coach's perspective. The coach gets really, really salty, really emotional, really anger, actually. The anger built up. Like they're frustrated. They're annoyed. There's an element of them feeling betrayed in some way. And it goes back to this thought that it almost as if we feel that we've gotten to the point where we own the rights to that person. And I don't think we should view it in that way. Because I've found that oftentimes as coaches, we always say this sentiment, Kyle. We always say we want what's best for the player. Well, I have a hard and truthful reality. Sometimes what's best for the player is not staying in your program. Sometimes what's best for the player is not continuing to be coached by you. Sometimes what's best for the player is not to stay within your current competitive environment, the current skill level within your program. I don't know what the dynamic is. Sometimes what's best for the player is for them to move on. But it creates challenges when we begin to view our relationship with our players as they owe it to us to remain. We own their rights. Now, we're certainly going to get to the nuances because there's a lot of nuances with this. There are moments where players shouldn't leave. There's moments where players leave for the wrong reasons. There's moments where players leave in unhealthy manners that can sometimes create some of that tension. But before we get to that, just the general speaking, I think it's very important that we sometimes shift our perspective ever so slightly of our role for the player. That I believe, Kyle, that if we truly believe in what's best for them, we need to have honest conversations and understand that may not be remaining with you or within your program. That has to be a revelation that we sometimes wrestle with in this conversation.
I 100% agree. And I think we always need to start with the talking point of we're dealing with people first and not athletes, and take the athlete out of the equation. And we need to deal with what is actually going on in the situation. Because like you said, there's a lot of different variables, but if we want to be that intentional coach who's really pouring into the athletes and serving them at a high level, that shouldn't change, regardless of family circumstances, school, or things of that nature. But I think it's important for us as coaches is when we're presented with this type of situation, is it's an opportunity to really live out what we say we're about. What is our character going to be? What's our integrity going to be? And this is an opportunity where it might be harmful to me as the coach in our program right now, but for this particular person, this is what's best for them. How do we handle that? And I think that says a lot about who we are and how we're going to lead this team in the future. Because maybe people don't look at it this perspective, but what is the rest of the team going through? What are they thinking? And a lot of how they handle that situation is going to be determined on how we handle that as a coach. So this happens all the time. And I think it's a very important topic for us to talk about, you know, with coaches and how we can best handle it and make good of it for everyone.
Yeah. You know, I've changed my tune on this a little bit over the years. You know, I think I was in the school of thought early on where I didn't like the whole transferring bit, and I still don't love it. Like, I'm not going around like with a sign endorsing it. You know, I'm not like going to be the influencer for transferring. But in the beginning, I was very much see it out, see it through, right? Continue where you started. Just keep pushing through, be loyal. And the longer that I continue to be around it and begin to see real life examples of individuals leaving one place, going to another place, and seeing the actual results of those decisions, you begin to see that, man, that was actually the best decision for them. Oh my gosh. I mean, their career, their life, it just went on a completely different level of trajectory once they made that decision, once they moved to this position. And when you see that, you begin to realize, okay, sometimes this is the best decision for them. And you shared something before we started recording, which I thought was really good. I'll have you kind of tee it up. You know, we always want what's best for the coach. I'll let you finish that thought. What was that again? Because I love how you presented it.
Yeah. And this isn't just from the coaching world. This is, you know, something that I've had a lot of conversations with colleagues over the years and, you know, 17 plus years in education and coaching is there's a saying that we've all heard hundreds of times, whether it's for the athlete or the student, but do what's best for the kids. And the reality of it is we're only going to do what's best for the kids if it's what's best for us. And the policies that go into play, the bureaucratic nature of education, I'm sure we have a lot of educators or coaches listening, nodding their head to this. But we got to think about that then when we apply it to coaching, because if we see that on the higher end of education, that I'm only going to do what's best for the kids if it's what's best for me, meaning that it puts me in a position to get a higher position within a school district to retire with the highest amount of money in my retirement system. Well, what about that from a coaching perspective? If what's really best for the kid that they move on and they go somewhere else, whether it's continued athletic career after they play with you, or maybe it's just kind of a personality thing or a fit with the team or whatever the case may be, but we can't say that, let's do what's best for the kids if it's only what's best for me. And I think that's where we've got to check our ego and kind of detach a little bit of, you know, really treating each situation as unique, because I've experienced it as a coach where players have left and gone to other schools for many different reasons. But at the end of the day, you have to sit there and think about, is that going to help them? And then how do I continue on doing what I'm doing and building what I'm building? Because that can't take me down. That can't be a knock. And how I respond to that, I think, says a lot about who I am as a person, my character, my integrity, and what I stand for.
Yeah. That statement right there, like, I want to do what's best for the kid as long as it's what's best for me. I mean, I can't speak for every coach, but if we're honest, that is the thought process. right? Like I lose this player, I now have to fill a position. I'm going to be not as good. My wins are going to be a little tougher to come by. My job's going to be a little bit more in jeopardy. I mean, there's all these different things that come from losing a player. But yet then, do you really care about what's the best for the player, right? Like these are the tough wrestling questions.
Right.
And I've begun to adopt this philosophy of I'm going to love them tightly and hold them loosely.
When I first hear you say that, maybe I'm speaking from like coaches on the outside, but I love that because I think it goes back to the heart of why you got into coaching. You know, and for most people, we're all competitive and we want to win and we love our players. But, you know, when you're seeing that, I'll let you jump back in with what you're saying. But it immediately jumps out to me is like you have the plan, you have the goals in mind, but you can't hold it so tightly that if one thing goes a different way, then it shatters you and it shatters your program. I got into coaching for the people and the relationships and I want to win and we want to experience that. But if push comes to shove, I can't lose that aspect of my intent and my value, because if I do, then I don't have integrity or I don't have character.
Yeah. I mean, when I say that phrase, you know, I'm essentially saying while you're under my leadership, man, I'm going to love you tight, man. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to support you. But all the while I'm going to be holding you loosely, which is essentially this other part of my mind that's going to recognize that they're not going to be with me forever. I don't know what their future holds. I don't know where they're going to go next year. I don't know exactly how things are going to play out for them. I'm not as concerned about that, but here in this moment, I'm going to love you maybe greater than anyone. And in fact, it may even be a conversation you have with the player where you tell them and you say, listen, I understand you're thinking about moving on. You're thinking about exploring another opportunity, getting more, moving on here, moving on there. Well, you know, if you feel like the opportunity is going to be greater for you and your family and your future, by all means, I think you should go for it. I do want you to know one thing, though. Although that opportunity may be greater over there and the spotlight may be greater over there, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to hold very strong to this, they're not going to love you any greater than I am. Like I'll put my chips on that one, right? So you go do it, by all means do it. But I just want you to know, like, I love you. I'm here for you, right? I'll support you if that's what you want to do. But it's more of this mindset that like recognizing that there is a transient nature in sports, and sometimes it's done for the wrong reasons. Sometimes it's done for the right reasons. But for us, we don't own the rights to our players. And when we need to remain in a situation where we are focused on their needs, their futures first and us second. And I actually think there can be a lot of credibility added if it's repositioned. If we as a coach, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, I'm here in the Baltimore, Washington market, major private school presence, okay? Major private school presence. You know what? Maybe I have a player that's with me freshman, sophomore, and junior year, okay? I've poured into them. I've loved them. But they begin to feel that this senior year, they need to move on to a private school because they need higher competition. They need greater exposure. They're not getting the looks and the offers they may have hoped. There's a little bit of pressure from the family, right? Those conversations are beginning to grow. There's one side of me that can sit there and start getting really frustrated and annoyed that the possibility is even there. You've got to be kidding me. Are you serious? I've driven them home for the last 3 years after practice, right? I've helped them with their grades. I've done this. I've done that. And now they're even thinking they're cheating on me. You know, it's like almost like a personal, like they're having an affair on me. Okay.
Feel betrayed.
Yeah. You feel betrayed. Like they're talking to another school behind my back. How dare they? Or so that's one, train of thought, which is certainly one that coaches probably experience. But then there could be another train of thought that is simply, man, I think this would be a great opportunity for him. And I'm excited that I've helped propel and prepare that individual for this opportunity. And that the years under my leadership and the years under my coaching and my instruction has equipped this individual to be able to go and take that next step and flourish. And I want to help that process. And then I'm going to communicate that praise to my other teammates and to my other players, which this is crazy because there's going to be a lot of coaches that will think, you can't do that because then you're opening the door, almost planting the seed for those other players to maybe leave. If you go and you start in celebrating this one person moving on, okay, I firmly believe it would actually have a opposite effect. I actually believe that you would get this trust from your players that would be greater than ever before. You would get this feeling and this love from your players that you truly do care about them and their future, okay? Right? Yeah. And I believe they will listen greater if you give them advice not to leave in the future, because you've shown that when you do think the situation is right, that you'll support it. So I can come back to them and say, listen, I don't think this is a good move for you right now. If you have another player in the next year thinking about leaving, I just don't think this is the right move for you. And trust me when I say that, because remember when last year when so-and-so left? Remember how I came and approached you? And that was the move. And look, it played out. I'm for your best interests. It's hard for a player to believe you're for my best interests when you would maybe try to restrain or stifle the growth potential and opportunities for another player. I find it really hard to believe you're all about the player if I see you doing that when, for all intents and purposes, even an outsider could view it and say, no, their best decision was to move on and you didn't support it. You're not for their best interest as the player. You're for yourself.
I think a lot of that always goes down to the simple statement of players and, you know, athletes, students, any of those categories, they don't necessarily remember what you teach them first. They remember how you made them feel. They remember how you cared about them before anything else. So I think it's a great opportunity if you're presented that situation as a coach. Your response, I think, does directly lead to future retention rate. And, you know, I think that's one thing that you can maybe lean your hat on more than just wins and losses is how many people do you have coming out in your program? Because that one player may leave, but if you handle that with dignity, with class, and you help them flourish in the next role, what's going to happen when they have a brother or a sister come along, or a cousin, or maybe even down the road, they have a child of their own? They're going to remember how you handled that. And so does the community. And I think that speaks volumes to the type of program that you have overall, because it may be intentional or not, but the word is going to get out on doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And doing the right thing is always the right thing. And it's applicable to life. I had a friend, you know, yesterday, I was on the phone with him and he sold his house and he made sure that a family got his house over an investor. And he made sure that that happened because the family was overjoyed. They'd been trying to get in this community for 5 years. And I think those are just the simple lessons. You know, that's about selling a house, but we teach these to our athletes. We have the opportunity that, you know, this, he took a lesser offer in order to give his home to a family that desperately wanted it and needed it. It was the right thing to do. A player leaving my program is not the best thing for me this season. It's going to hurt. But inversely, it's an opportunity to teach our athletes that sometimes the best thing for us in that moment is for someone to do or to go somewhere else. But down the road, those things come back to you in a positive way. And people remember that. They remember how you made them feel. They remember how you treated their family members, their friends, If you handle that with dignity in class, then I think ultimately, as you just mentioned, you're going to end up with more people coming to you because of how you handle that than leaving.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. You must lead tasks before you can lead people. Too many people are concerned with the leadership title. Success is defined by when they begin to lead others, but each of us leads in a multitude of areas each and every single day. If we effectively lead the responsibilities that we currently have, it creates future opportunities to lead people. Leadership takes all sorts of different forms, and if you haven't started yet, you can begin your leadership journey today. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
Yeah, and I firmly believe that, and I'd be happy to do a case study over 10 years of someone engaging in this behavior to actually show the byproduct of it. It's certainly a long game. It won't work if you're just so focused on the here and the now. Right. Because, yeah, you're right. Here and now we'll probably be keeping that player. But if you're looking at legacy, if you're looking at creating something worthwhile along with some longevity, I think that mindset is so important. And so much of it also requires a mind shift for the coaches as they communicate with their administration or they communicate with their athletic directors. Because I'll give you this little example. You lose a player to the next level, you know, they transfer to another program, you're going to be titled, and there may be individuals that will look at you and say, you lost them. You weren't able to retain them. And it's going to be said with a failing connotation to it. When that needs to be flipped, and what I would encourage your response to then be is, no, I prepared them. I positioned them. It was under my leadership, under my teaching and instruction that even put them in a position to be able to get to that place where they were able to thrive. Yeah, I would have loved for it to be here, but I care about the kid, and our program develops people. That's what we do. We prepare them. And that is another case in point. And guess what? When that person goes on to bigger and greater things, I get to speak on that in a positive light because the relationship will be positive. They'll come back and show their appreciation to me in the journey of their growth and evolution. Whereas if we soured it, they will close the book on that chapter and it'll almost be all forgotten.
Yeah, I think that's a key point right there is, someone's future success is when they experience that they're going to speak on the people that help them out. And if you encourage them and you support them, they're going to remember that because that was an opportunity where they might have been anticipating a negative response from you and to be thrown under the bus by you in front of their friends and their peers. But if you help prepare them and then you celebrate them, it's counterproductive and it's counterculture to what we experience and what we normally would expect to happen. But I think the great leaders that are out there that who have ever existed, they've done things that have been thought to be counterproductive. And that really goes a long way, as you mentioned, is when they think later on, when someone asks them to define their success or they're sharing how they got there, your name's going to get brought up, your program's going to get brought up. And again, I think it just doing the right thing and taking the high road, so to speak, is going to pay off much greater than throwing shade at somebody or doing what we expect to be done kind of in the culture today.
And here's a great example that I'll reflect back on. Paul Rabil. For those that aren't familiar, Paul Rabil is arguably the greatest lacrosse player in the world. He recently retired. He owns and founded the Premier Lacrosse League, which is the professional lacrosse organization of professional sports. He's a legend, absolute legend. And Paul, I bring him up because Paul went to the same high school I went to.
Most churn people out don't. Legends there.
What
you guys do, you churn out legends there.
Hey, listen, that's what we do, Kyle. That's what we do. So Paul went to the same high school as I did, but he only attended the first year or two. And then he transferred to DeMatha, the private school. DeMatha, high ranking school, high competitive environment, high performing private school in Maryland, right outside of College Park. But the time that he had at Watkins Mill in high school, the coach almost kind of took that approach. Like, I'm going to pour into them. I think they could see the writing on the wall that Paul probably wouldn't stay there the whole 4 years. Essentially, right. The coach took this approach. I'm going to love them tightly, but hold them loosely. While they're under my guidance, under my leadership, I'm going to give them all that I got. I'm going to give them all that I've got. I'm going to pour into them. I'm going to help coach, instruct, and do all that. And wherever they go, I know I'm going to rest. I'm going to sleep well at night knowing that I played a great role in that process. And by that support, you then create part of your legacy where now that coach gets to speak on that he helped in the developmental process of building and growing arguably the greatest lacrosse player in the history of the world, right? Paul Rabil. And then if you follow Paul Rabil, now that he's at the end of his career, he still talks about his time at Watkins Mill.
I've seen that.
Yeah, he will post pictures of his experience as a freshman into his sophomore year at Watkins Mill. He's talking about where it began, right? Watkins Mill can then, if they're smart, leverage that, right? Champions are birthed out of our program. You could create taglines like that, right? The best have walked through these doors. It can be part of your story, but I'm going to tell you, it probably doesn't happen if you step into that process immediately thinking, you own that player. You own the rights to that player. And if anything disrupts it, they are betraying you. They're going behind your back. And it were to get messy and toxic. Now, the one thing I will add to this, there is absolutely a responsibility on the player's part to handle it with grace as well. Don't get me wrong, okay? Absolutely their responsibility. They have to make sure that they are communicating, that they're having these conversations. We hope that they're doing it for the right reasons and that these are valid reasons and that they're not just bouncing around because there's a lot of toxic nature from the player's perspective, okay? And we can't talk about all those different nuances, but once again, I think when we look at a general situation, if there's a player that is in our program that truly and wants to go about it the right way and move on to the next level, go somewhere else because they think it's going to benefit their future, we need to, once again, recognize the fact that we don't own the rights to them, hold them loosely. And then here's another phrase I think about all the time. Love those who don't want it and walk with those who do. Love those who don't want it and walk with those who do. Listen, not everyone's going to stay in our program forever. Okay, they may not want to. They may not be for it. They may not be with it. Well, guess what? I'm going to continue loving you, even though you may not want to continue on in my program. But trust me, I've got to walk with those who I'm walking with. The people that I've got right here, right now, under my leadership and guidance, I'm going to give them all that I got. And I'm going to love them, and I'm going to look out for their best interests. And you know, if they walk on, guess what? I'm going to continue to love them. But it's this dynamic of just really being intentional with who you have, and recognizing who you have may not be who you have forever. And that may be okay if you handle it correctly.
Yeah, and I think there's just great life parallels there too. If we approach it from the end in mind at the beginning, and we just maybe kind of have that conversation with our coaching staff, even before a season starts or as you take over a new program, but that's a real possibility. So what is that going to look like? How are we going to create this program? How are we going to serve our athletes? How are we going to treat them? And knowing that the end point for some of them could come prior to the others, but it shouldn't be dictating how we treat everyone. It should be consistent in how we love them in that regard. And kind of, you know, what I thought about too, with what you're talking about is as parents, you know, our kids are with us for a certain amount of time. Their paths are going to go different directions. And our job is to prepare them, to love them, to pour into them. And knowing that that path might be divergent from what we expected. And we might have ideas in our head of where we want it to go. But as coaches, we're always talking about our athletes are our kids. So if we look at them like that, as our kids, then we ultimately love them and we want what's best for them. Because it's not about me as the parent living through that kid anymore. It's not about me as the coach living through that. And when you turn on ESPN or you watch a top-ranked athlete or you read in the paper about it, rarely does the coach's name get mentioned with the athlete. And you have to be okay with that because it's not about you. Like you said, it's about putting that person in a position to succeed ultimately. And that's kind of, I think, the approach that we need to take. It's nothing personal. Maybe it just didn't fit, didn't go well, but let's do all we can to put them on a pedestal, on a platform that really take off and succeed.
I'm going to give another, flipping this upside down even more so and giving some coaches some challenging thoughts here. I would challenge, you may even want to think about having the conversation with your players about them transferring. There may be good chances a large number of coaches, I would almost go as far as to say 100% of the coaches listening right now. And if I'm wrong on this, please send us a message, okay? Like if you do this already, I retract what I'm saying here. But I am pretty strong in my belief that I believe 100% of the coaches, almost every coach, none of them have ever talked openly about them, their players transferring with the player. That they've never actually held a conversation with asking the player, have you thought about transferring? Have you considered it? Has it been something that's been brought up in your house? Has your parents brought it up? Has your family brought it up? Maybe at the college level it's been brought up. Maybe coaches at the college level talk about it a little bit more. But my guess is most coaches don't. That's not a conversation they've ever had. And it sounds, once again, counterproductive, counterintuitive to where we're trying to go. But I believe it could actually have a reverse effect. I think about it from an employer standpoint. If you're an employer and you are leading a team, I actually think it's very helpful to have conversations with your team members that you're leading in the organization and actually ask them if they've ever had moments where they've looked at other jobs, or if they've ever thought about leaving or pursuing a different field because they were frustrated or felt like they weren't growing. I actually think that's a really healthy conversation. It can provide you insight into their current mindset. It can help you understand maybe moments where they were frustrated or challenged. It can help provide some insight into what they want, what they're hoping to accomplish. It can give you some insight. And if you really want to have a transparent and genuine relationship, I think that's a conversation that is okay to have and appropriate to have. And it, once again, it kind of builds on this feeling that I'm having this conversation because, one, I don't know, nor do I believe you'll be with me forever. Do I hope? Yes. But I know that's not always the realistic possibility. So I want to be real to that. The second thing it communicates is I want you to know, like, my first priority is you.
Right.
So I want to know, like, have you thought about leaving, you know, like, have you looked at other opportunities? Has that been part of your conversation? I wonder how that conversation would go with the players.
Hey, that's a great point.
Have you had this conversation with your parents? What does that look like? What prompted you to begin thinking about that? What is it that you are concerned about or you feel like maybe missing within this program? Maybe you find out that it's like something not sports related, it's academic related. Or maybe you find out that it's, you know, the competition level, right? You just don't feel like you're getting tested on a daily basis from a practice standpoint. Maybe it's an opportunity. You know, I'm kind of sharing reps with this person where I feel like, maybe there's a conversation we could have. Okay. It can open the door to really genuine and honest conversations where you have that conversation, that player is going to come back to you and really believe you have their best interests. Kyle, you've been around coaching for what, 17, 18 years?
Yeah.
To your knowledge, have you ever addressed that or heard a coach actually go to the player and actually like opened up that conversation about them transferring?
No, not in that regard. And I'll be honest, I never really approached it that way as a coach either. But I'm thinking in my head that is a great way to have a conversation, you know, at any point with an athlete, but you oftentimes you have maybe one-on-one conversations. We would have them a couple times throughout the season, but sometimes when someone leaves your program, they do for reasons that you're unaware of. And by bringing that up, now you can eliminate that from popping into their head or allowing that small issue to fester into other ones. But I know I was guilty of it sometimes, of just operating under the assumption that everything's great because no news is good news, right? But you might not really know everything behind that. So when you do have that, or when you experience that to any degree, then it becomes apparent of what needs to be fixed. But it just becomes an environment that I think would be more open and honest, and you can only get better from that, you know, as a coach and a player.
Yeah, I mean, and those are the real conversations. I think it's interesting timing. I'll peel back the curtain a little bit on our relationship. You've been with Lead 'Em Up for 4 or 5 years now. And right before this podcast, we actually sat down and met about the upcoming year, right? We're recording this towards the end of 2021 and approaching the 2022. And like, I wanted to know from you, give me 3 things that you disliked about this last year. Give me 3 things that frustrated you, right? I asked you to kind of do this little exercise in advance of this. Like, I mean, I want to know those things, okay? Because I want to, help try to fix them. I want to put you in a good position, but also it'll help give me a good read of you, like where you're at with things, okay? And because ultimately, at the end of the day, I want what's best for you, right? And so I want to hear those things. And I think coaches, you don't bring that stuff up because you don't want to hear certain things. I get it, right? It's not fun to hear certain things, but things change when we begin to view this entire conversation of the players that I have them for a season, right? A season of life, not just a season, but a season of life. And I don't know how long that season of life together with this person will be. It may be 1 year, it may be 2 years, it may be 4 years. I don't know. In COVID world, maybe they get back a fifth year, right? And they get a fifth year of eligibility. I have a season with this player. And I want to do everything I can to pour into them. I'm going to love them. When the time comes where they leave, I want to help support them. I want to help them move into the next chapter that's going to continue moving them in the direction of growing. And I want to check my ego at the door, because I really want to be a coach that is about the players first. And not just assuming that's good for me type mindset, as you alluded to earlier. So, coaches, if today's episode challenged your thought process, certainly one that has challenged mine over the years, and Kyle as well, and I think some of the things I shared, maybe even Kyle, I could tell he was nodding his head as we were recording, kind of triggered some thoughts there about, I never really had that conversation with the player in that way before. If this changed your mindset, please send us a message, shoot us a text, send us an email, send us a message on social media, wherever you communicate with us. We'd love to connect with you and just kind of hear. And Kyle, thank you for your contributions on today's episode. But coaches, hopefully this was encouraging. Hopefully this was helpful. Till next time, we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for your support of Lead 'Em Up. And as always, have fun and lead 'em up.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.